Hey Wes, racking and stacking another day, buddy.
Cracking and stacking. We got the first one knocked out today, and now we're coming back to the industry for a second.
We are, and it's so fun. And somebody asked me one day, "Do you like out of the industry or in the industry better?" And there's no real right answer to that. I love them all. You know, we've been blessed to have some great guests, and the fun thing about Nate Roberts coming up here in a minute is he's in the industry, out of the Texas area, runs a roll forming metal manufacturing facility out there. But I also look at him as if he wasn't in the industry, he'd still be a great guest because of all the other positivity, workout, get up early, hit the day, do the stuff you need to do, kind of mentality, which would fit even if he was, I don't know, making any other widget there was, right? So it's almost like a two for one or Nate.
Yeah, and I was just telling my wife today, we were driving back and forth to Columbus, and I said, even when we have people that are from the industry, they always drop some sort of a nugget about, something that their dad or their grandparents or, something like that taught them. And so it's always cool.
It is cool. So, well, good. Well, brother, I appreciate all you do, man. You're the best.
You're the best. And let's go ahead and bring on the second guest.
Let's do it. All
All
right, let's
right.
go.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Boom, there we are. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, my man?
Oh, you know, I couldn't be any better, man. I got the one and only Nate Roberts on. I mean, it doesn't get any better than this.
Well, if I were any better, I'd have to be you. That's all I
Well,
can
boy,
say.
and believe me, they've taken out, they've actually made laws in the state of Florida where I live now, and in the state of Michigan where I spend a little time, that there can no longer be only one Randy. That's plenty enough. They're not even sure they like that, but you know, I'm here now.
Oh, yes, sir. I say all the time, if I were any better, I'd have to be twins. And
Well,
anyone but my wife might appreciate that. She
understood,
has no
understood.
desire for two of them. Right.
Understood. Understood. Well, welcome, man, to Building Wins. And when I thought about when we got to know each other a little bit via social and virtual everything, I said, this is a guy I got to have on because you caught me the first post I saw yours. You had me hooked because of your positivity and your energy and the fact that you know what you want and you get up early and you get at it every day. And so before we get to that, which is what I really want to talk about, I don't want to talk about anything you want to talk about, but first, there's that old the old who in the world is Waldo? Well, in this case, who in the world is Nate Roberts? Let's find out who you are.
Oh man, that's a long story, Bill. As a matter of
No,
fact,
we got 40 minutes, so yeah, go
last year was a huge year for Nate. And in that, I turned 50 years old, so I'm probably halfway there. But I married for 25 years to my beautiful wife, Mindy. Two incredible children, one of which is my business partner here at Practical. We are, I grew up in a small farm community in Arkansas, and at a very young age knew that that wasn't where I wanted to be long term. So graduated high school on Friday. Monday morning, I was on the Yellow Footprints in San Diego in Marine Corps boot camp. 8 years of that. Met my wife toward the end of that and have been in Fort Worth, Texas, in commercial roofing and steel pretty much ever since.
Well,
So.
first, thank you for your service. As you and I've talked, I have a my older son's a Marine. Because you're never
Wow,
former
sir.
Marine, right? So he's been out for a while.
Sure.
So he once a Marine, always a Marine, right? And
Absolutely.
so thank you for your service. We appreciate
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well,
Absolutely.
I value and most of the people that I know value the sacrifices that y'all and your families put out every day. So Anyways,
yes, sir. Thank you.
Big thanks.
We appreciate that.
So you you moved to Fort Worth, and now you're running Practical Metals and roofing all of Texas and working out and getting in shape and being positive every day. And holy crap, where do we go from here? Let's talk about Nate's philosophy. How do you live life every day? Because I love it. That's what attracted me to the first video I saw. I saw you and I go, hold on, who is this guy? I got to watch this guy a little bit. And I love your work out there. I love your presence out there. So tell us about you. Tell us what drives you and why you're doing some of the things you do.
You know, I'd love to say that it's one thing, but I want to build with our team, you know, whether it is the fitness or whether it is taking care of yourself or whether it is, you know, how we're healing ourselves and trying to be better people every day, or whether it is the metal side. I don't want to sit still. A friend of mine used this phrase just yesterday and I stole it from him. I don't idle well. Mm. So, you know, on the business side here, we started about 3 years ago, my son and I. And it was a company called Asset Materials. And we were, much like you, a manufacturer's rep of sorts, mm-hmm. for metal buildings, metal building components, fasteners, you name it. Well, it quickly grew, and we brought on another partner and rebranded to Practical Building Systems. Pre-engineered metal buildings, full buildings. We only supply, period. We don't erect. We do the design, the engineering with the team, and then we supply the general contractors, developers, or erection crews who buy the materials. They take care of that side. Mm-hmm. So for us, that morphed. And when I first cut my teeth, I was in commercial roofing. And Randy, as you well know, two different worlds that are so similar that very seldom ever connect. On the commercial roofing system that here in our area lend themselves to the 24 gauge Kynar architecturals.
Right.
And the 26 gauge pre-engineered metal building world that, as similar as they are, never the two shall meet. Until we did. So some of our clients were asking if we, since we're doing our panel and you panel and supplying that type of stuff through one of our fabricating partners, if we could paint, you know, what the world knows as Kynars, what we know as PVDFs. Mm-hmm. So we looked into it with some fabrication and manufacturing partners and said yes. And we started painting some coil and painting some material, which has now morphed into Practical Metals, which is the division of the building company. And that's what we focus on here. Strictly 24 gauge PVDF paint systems. We're proud to have couple of manufacturing partners on that side to lean on and help us get that product out to those commercial and residential roofing contractors. And we supply, like, you know, my hashtag on my page is coils and flats, hashtag coils and flats. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We thought initially we were going to set up a bunch of portable roll formers and set up some crews and go run panels and trims. And it just, we made the decision that we were going to focus on the base materials, supplying that for our contractor and fabrication network, and let them do all that work. So when someone needs panels, we farm that out to them. We send that out to them. We send them to our contractors. And it's so far so good. It's worked out pretty well. You know, we're 3 years into this thing and just having a blast.
Love it. Well, and you know, that's so obvious to everything that I see in your posts and your social media presence is you are having a blast running your business and everything else. And isn't that like incredibly important? Because a tagline that I use a lot is love what you do and do what you love, right? And like whatever I'm doing, that's what I'm doing right now. Doing these sort of things is just one more thing that I love to do and do what I love, right? It's so important because, man, life is short, but it can be long if you're spending it all doing stuff you don't like.
Absolutely.
And when you do stuff you, and I don't mean to tell anybody that might go, Randy, you idiot. I'm not saying there's not days or moments or periods of something you don't like, right? Because there is. We have that all the time. But if you're generally in a lifestyle, if that makes sense, where business and personal, you know, come together and you're just loving what you do and doing what you love, it makes the tough days, the tough minutes, the tough whatever, much easier to do. And I like to say sometimes, and I love to get your opinion on this because I can tell what it is, but is don't let 20 minutes of suck turn into 20 hours or 20 days or 20 weeks or 20 years, right? It's 20 minutes or it's 2 days, but that doesn't have to become your life, right? It's just a point in time.
100%. And, you know, that's what defines us is how we get through those things. Mm-hmm. Unlike most guys, you know, our age, I look to a lot of these younger guys and I'm influenced by a lot of these younger guys. I mean, when I'm training in the morning, I'm watching YouTube and I'm watching different philosophies and different mentalities and people who have done things different ways. And what it all comes down to is the work sucks, right? I mean, a lot of times, but everything, and I think this is an Alex Hormozi quote, but everything you want is on the other side of the work you're avoiding.
Right.
And it's so true. And I'm the world's worst at procrastinating. Mm-hmm. You know, I made a living in high school of procrastinating. And even the college work, when I was in the Marine Corps, if it was due on Friday at 10 p.m., by God, at 9:59, I was finalizing it.
Yeah. So you like to put that pressure on yourself, right?
I'm trying to get better about not putting that pressure on myself now. But absolutely, that pressure, those deadlines, you know, making things happen for people. I'm blessed with Chance, my son and business partner, who is just the opposite. He's, you know what, we've got the order in. It may change, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to process everything. We're going to have it ready. I know they don't need it till next week, but I'd rather process it, let it sit there for a week. And then, you know, if it changes between now and then, it changes between now and then, but it's ready to go. So,
So it's a good combination. So you work well with each other and that's good. That's good to have that back and forth, the yin and the yang or whatever you want to call it. Right.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So how does, you know, I love your early mornings and okay, let me back up. I get up at 4 o'clock for one reason, and that is to catch an airplane sometimes, right? Because I'll profess, I'm not an early morning guy. I don't like early. I don't get up at like 8, but I mean, 4 o'clock to me is insane. I think I'm impressed that you do it. I'm not saying you're insane. It's just to me, I'm not big on that, but I have a tendency to do a lot of 350 wake up calls because when I fly north, which is a lot, I can always get this in anywhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock flight out. And so I always grab that flight because I'm one of these that if I do that, I'm in Columbus, Ohio at 9:30 or Buffalo, New York at 9:30. I've got a full day basically still.
You
right?
Don't lose a day to travel.
Right. I'm not one that believes, and I know this will go against the grain of some people that watch, people that travel the road, so sorry. But I'm not it's travel day. I don't do 2 travel days a week.
Right.
You know, travel day is part of the work day. I would rather, no, I'm not saying ever. Sometimes it's just the way it works. But if I can stay till Friday at 7:30 at night, and that means I got to make the last call at 4 o'clock before I got over to the airport, that's what I'll do.
Sure.
But I know that, like I said, so I don't necessarily subscribe to the 2 travel days a week, because that means now I'm going to work 3 days a week, and I don't know, that's not how you build as many wins as you want to build, I guess, in my mind.
100%. Yes, sir. So for me, I've had a roller coaster of fitness in my life. And you can probably go back through my Facebook and see that roller coaster. Chance was a baseball player in high school. We traveled all over the country, and you know, he played baseball when he was in high school, getting ready to go to college. We were headed to Arizona, pulled over on the side of the road, did the obligatory, you know, family photo next to the vehicle. And when my wife posted it online, I literally picked up the phone and texted some of my friends and said, guys, why didn't somebody tell me I was getting this big? Like, I was 265 pounds at that time. Wow. And I mean, not a fit, you know, a strong 265. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I've got a young man who is working toward, you know, to go play college ball. And these college scouts and college coaches, they're looking at you and they're looking at the parental habits and they're looking at everything. So I got to the point that it was like, no, I've got to lose this. And I bought a cheap Nordic Track treadmill, actually, and my wife will see this. I bought it for her for Christmas because that's what she said she wanted.
Okay.
That's a whole other story we'll come back to on another.
Okay.
Careful what they asked for Christmas. But I wore that thing out, and the only time I had to do it was at 4 a.m. because the rest of my day was taken with work. The rest of my day was taken with doing what we were doing every day. So for me, it just became, you know, I worked my day, and the only time that I could make sure that I got it in was before all of that started. So it became 4 a.m. And then, you know, with us starting this and ramping this business up and growing this business, I look back and I'm putting on some weight because I'm not taking the time to train. And I said, I know what to do. I know how to do it. It's just time to go do it again. So 4 a.m. club, here it is again.
Love it. Love it. And I love the fact that you post it. I think every day. I feel like I see it every day. I when I wake up, and you've already been done for 2 hours is when I see it. But I love seeing it because it's motivational, because I'm a big believer in living a fit, healthy lifestyle. I think it's just important in so many reasons. One, you know, I have kids that are older, grandkids and two great grandkids, and I want to be around to make sure they're all okay for as long as I can. And right. I love back to loving what I do and doing what I love. I don't want to not be able to do it because I don't take care of myself. And that's controllable by me, right? I can control what I eat and the types of foods I eat and how much I eat. And I can control whether I decide to go hit the gym or go get 5, 6, 7 miles in, or I don't, right? And it's all choices. And what I love is that you post it every day, because I think it does two things, Nate, and I love them both. It keeps you accountable, because everybody that follows you is going to go, so what's up, Nate? Did you give up already, dude? You know, right? You know, there's accountability. And I think you are bringing other people along. You're bringing people to go, you know what, if Nate's doing this, I should do something. I need to be better somehow, right? So I love it. You know, hats off to that.
Well, thank you. I said it on several posts. I put that out there on social media as a reminder for me. Mm-hmm. I'm reminding myself why I do it every day so that I can look back at it. And comments and appreciative and kudos and those things, they all help, right? If somebody else is motivated by that, I hope they are. If someone else is motivated by that, then that's just a bonus for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I am. So there you are. We got one.
We got one. All right.
And your hashtag, and your hashtag, if I remember right, is get some. Is that right?
Get some. Yes, love sir.
You know, and you know, I love that, because I've used not that exact word, but I've used that statement a few times when I've done something to do with. I was using it a lot when I was doing the 75 Hard program.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I always talked about is, you know, there you had a certain amount, but after that, I would say, what would I say? You know, get some, but never get none. right? I know it's a weird way of saying it, but
no, you're right.
But if it's a long business day, I'm traveling, two different airports, rental car, you know, it is hard.
Absolutely.
But get some, never none, right? And I think that's important is to live by that, yeah. Because, and I love your take on this too from the health and fitness part, but I think it's selfish to not take care of yourself. You're not taking away. Well, I'm taking away from family time, or I'm taking away from some business time, or I'm doing whatever. But I don't think you are, because it's kind of like the old. I like to use this sometimes, but you know, I fly a lot. You got an airplane. I could almost say everything the flight attendants say, right?
So right. Times. You can do the but
I could I do that for you? If you got a minute, you know, go grab me another coffee or something. But what do they tell? Why do they always tell you to put your own mask on first if it falls down, right? Because right. If you don't get your own mask on first, I can't help the little kid beside me or the old lady down the across the thing, right? So I think it's the same thing when it comes to health and fitness. Is if we don't take care of ourselves, not only can we not maybe inspire other people to do it, but I can't do the things you need. I can't help you if you need it. I can't be there 10 years from now because I'm going to be crippled or dead or unhealthy or whatever the outcomes may be, right? So I think you're being selfish to not take care of yourself. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. No, and you know, I guess I never thought of it that way, but absolutely. You've, especially now at this point in my life, no one else is going to look out for me. You know, I can go do whatever I want to do. I can let myself go. I can point and tell the guys that, you know, well, you take care of that. Or I can just be a part of that, which is always a lot more fun to be a part of that as opposed to pointing and clicking and telling people, oh, well, you do this, you do this, you do this. And I don't ever want to lose that. I don't ever want to lose that ability as long as I can. So,
right. Yeah. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So what's the Roberts family do when you're not working out at 4 a.m. or rolling metal or whatever else you're doing with the business world? What's Nate's life look like for the Roberts family?
You know, I would love to say that it's, you know, so exciting and we travel and we do this and we do that. But, much to my wife's chagrin, I'm very much a homebody. And I love what I do here every day. Mm-hmm. So we're doing research, or we're working on testing, or we're, you know, doing back behind the scenes marketing with, you know, talking to contractors, talking to all these different people. I'm trying to make sure that my wife travels a little more, even if it's just for her peace.
Sure.
But, you know, Chance is newly married, so he's still in the newlywed phase of his life. Nice. Our daughter, who is on the other side of the metal, she's actually engaged into a family that owns recycling yards. So they're on the... They're on the other side of steel.
Gotcha.
And, you know, I'd love to say there's a whole lot of fun and life, but we just spend some time with quality friends and enjoy the company and work on doing what we do, you know. So
that's
there's nothing, eventually I'd like to travel a little more, but I think it's about 5 years down the road.
So. Okay. Yeah. Well, but the beautiful thing is, and it gets talked about a lot, and this is something that my buddy Powell, and your new friend now, my producer Wes, Wyatt talks about a lot, is Market You First is one of his podcasts. And he talks a lot about if you're not doing what you want to do, you got to find a way to break away from that and get into what it is that brings you know, fun, pleasure, and joy, right? Because we've all been, and Wes and I've talked about this. He's talked about it on his podcast. He's talked about it when we've been together. We've all been there. I've had some places in my life where I hated Friday because that meant tomorrow was Saturday, but which meant tomorrow was Sunday, which meant then it's Monday again, and I got to go back, right? So I mean, right? Does that, you know, and that's no fun. I hated Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because I worried about going back to something I hated on Monday. And now my favorite day of the week is Monday. I love Mondays. I love to get back at it because I don't ever stop because like you, I'm spending time on the weekend working on a blog or working on another video or planning trips or getting literature requests out or whatever stuff that I do that I need to do in my rep world and or my social media presence or the podcasting or anything else that I do. But I'm not like, and it's so blessed to be there. And it's been for years now, and I love it. I'm not like, I can't wait till another hour and a half and I'm done for the week. I don't have that.
Oh,
and isn't that a great place to be?
I hear so many people. I was having this conversation with a friend literally this morning. Work-life balance. Mm-hmm. When you love what you do, like I love what I do, like you love what you do, for me, that's balance. Because at no point do I look up and go, oh, well, I got to be here another hour. I look up and I go, oh, hey, it's 6 o'clock. I should probably go home and get some rest and get ready for another day. Saturday mornings, you know, most people they're just so thankful to not have to go to work. Whereas I have a tendency to have to force myself to stay away a lot of times, Saturdays or Sundays, but you know, full disclosure, Saturdays and Sundays is when I get ahead of my competition because they're not doing those things.
Right.
And contractors know, but our clients, and let's have that conversation. Clients, they know they can call me, they can text me, they can send me an email. And if our clients are working on the weekend or they're working on a whatever, we're there for them, period. Because they're the ones who drive our business. Those are the relationships that drive what we do. And there's no better way to become someone's first call than to get them out of a bind. And when they're in a bind on a Saturday afternoon and my competition isn't even answering the phone, and they know they can call, even if they call the office number, it rolls over and it comes to my cell phone, because I don't want somebody hung out to dry trying to finish a project and they need 4 flat sheets because some trim got damaged, or they ended up 400 feet short on a coil. Oh, well, it's Sunday. There's nothing we can do until Monday morning. No, that's for me, that's just not the way that relationships are built. And that's not the way that you successfully build a business. Right. And some of our larger competitors and even vendors will tell us, well, you know, you can do that while you're small, but you can't do it once you're, you know, above the 15 million a year mark. And I want to challenge that. I want everyone who works for us and works with us to understand that, you know, maybe when we are, you know, we're 3 times the size we are and we're 15 million, maybe I have someone here all day Saturday and, you know, available on Sunday. That's not me. That would be great. But until then, it is me. But I want that culture that we struggle. We've hired a couple of new people and we refer to our clients as, you know, Phil or Mark. And the new guy's looking at the computer system going, I don't have a Phil. I don't have a Mark. And I'm, oh, hang on. Yeah, it's under this company name, you know? Right. And those are the relationships that mean something.
Right.
Those are the relationships that allow you to make mistakes and still move forward. You don't have to be perfect all the time when you're there for them. So for me, that work-life balance quote unquote, it's just balance. And most days I feel like I am in balance with that. So.
Well, and that's a great point. I made a note to myself when he was talking. Because believe me, I'm not doing crossword puzzles. If you see me writing, that would bore me to death. But when you do, you know, using my phrase, love what you do and do what you love, when you're so ingrained and work and life, personal life is all part of who you are, you don't have to strive for the work-life balance. It's just automatic. Right. You don't have to work about it. You don't have to go, oh, I better stop working now and go spend some time. For example, yesterday I had some things to do work wise. I'm working from home this week from the office. But a friend that's been on the program, actually, we're going to drop his podcast soon. But he was in town and he goes, hey, he has some in-laws that own a microbrewery. Said, you want to get together? And I said, you know what? Yes, I will. And because it's a relationship that I wanted to foster and to build, and we're going to do some good collaboration on some other things together. But my point is, I've successfully, I feel like built a balance to where I still, and he's in the business world as well, not in our industry, but right. We both took two or three calls while we're talking. Having a microbrew, we both answered a text. I mean, I literally did a quick Zoom because I've got a podcast that I'm doing tomorrow after ours here they wanted to have a quick chat before. Sure. And I forgot that I had it on my calendar because I was so excited to meet this guy that I said, yeah, I'll do it. And then I go, hey, you hope you don't mind if I take like 10 minutes right here at the with you. And he said, oh, do what you got to do. But my point of all that is, you know, when you're living within balance, you can be in and out of these different things at a moment's notice, and it's not like you got to plan the balance, right? I don't have to plan to go to work because I don't go to work ever. I get up and go do what I love, right? And that's the key.
Oh yeah, yeah. And for us, you know, to even more of a dynamic. So it was a year ago. So December of 23, Chance and I were growing at such a rate, and we had invested in a software that would grow with us. It's actually full manufacturing. It's everything, all in one. And I had just my side of the business. We had like $800,000 in invoicing that hadn't been invoiced.
Wow.
And it was just Chance and I. And I Mindy, my wife, I woke her up one morning and I said, look, I need help or this is not going to succeed. So in our new facility, her office is in the back, and part of the deal for her to come on full time was, hey, I'll do this, but when we build a shop, it's got to have a yard for our dogs to go to the office every day, and I'll take care of this. And so for us, when I tell you it's very family oriented, when I have to stay late, it's not like she's not right down the hall understanding what we do. So we are so ingrained in what we do that maybe some other families have issues with those kinds of things, but it just is what we do and who we are. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a lot easier. So
exactly. And you hit on something a minute ago. You referred to them as clients. And I like that term because I have a tendency to refer to people in my world as customer friends. Mm-hmm. But I think I mean it in the same way. And I remember a friend of the show and a friend in general that I've got to know and read his books and he's been on the show, Lee Sauls, which has wrote a couple of really, really good books, Sales Differentiator and a couple others, a new one coming out soon. But I remember when he was on the show, a couple times he goes, clients, Randy, it's clients, because he's big on, and I understand what he's saying. He's big on they're not just a number, right? They're more than just a customer. I tend to use customer friends because I always have, and so I'm old and probably always will, but really, but I think we mean the same thing. You know, these people, like you said, and I thought it was so applicable. They're not a customer number. It's Matt.
Exactly.
And I know his wife, and I know his kids, and his grandson plays baseball, and his dog's named Rover, right? I mean, that's the difference, right?
Absolutely. I will break my back for a client. I will stay late, pay overtime. There's very little within legal realms that I won't do for a client. And I'll give you a case in point. This is a beautiful description that I've used with the guys in the shop here. Saturday morning, I get a text. We had a price increase Friday, end of day Friday, drop dead. Any further orders, pricing. We had a price increase. Mm-hmm. Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Hey, this is such and such. Such and such gave me your number. I think it was 5,000 feet of coil and 100 flat sheets. And I said, okay, let me get to the office. I'll shoot you a quote. I'm running a little behind. I was expecting this call. I'd been expecting this call for a week and a half. Okay. Was very clear with everyone when our price increase was going into effect. I don't sell on price. If I'm the cheapest out there, chances are I made a mistake. Now, we are competitive. And in this product instance, I am typically less expensive, but we were the first to have the price increase. And he says, well, your pricing's right where everyone else's is. And I explained, yes, we had a price increase yesterday. He says, oh, well, you can't hold it for another day. Well, when are you wanting this delivered? Oh, I need it delivered Monday. So wait a minute. I've been waiting on this for 2 weeks. Now you're asking me to go back on a price increase. I don't even really know you. You were recommended. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't. Our business doesn't allow for that. And I don't know if I offended him, upset. I can't say as to how he felt about it, but I don't want to say it's not my problem, but I can't do anything like that for everyone, or my business would be out of business.
Correct.
So he ended up buying it somewhere else. Didn't tell me that. Didn't say, hey, I'm going to get it somewhere else. Didn't say, don't worry about it. And when I followed up, because that's what salespeople do.
Right.
When I followed up, I got no response, nothing. Those are not situations that will probably ever become clients, because the last thing that he told me was he buys on price alone. Mm-hmm. And my clients, that same morning, I'm sitting in my office and one of my guys calls me. He says, hey, I know this is a rarity, but I need 12 sheets of Hawaiian blue. 12 flat sheets on a Saturday morning of Hawaiian blue. Really? What do you do? Yeah, let me dig them out. I think I've got some. Sure enough, I had 15 from an old job, and he sent somebody to pick them up. That's a client that I would do anything for. I'd have driven 100 miles if somebody else had them.
Right.
On the same day, two different scenarios. One's a client, one's somebody that just buys things, and I'm not interested in people who just buy things.
Right. Well, exactly, because the first guy, all that was going to be was a transaction, right? That's all it was going to be.
That's it.
And you'd have got that one if you had dropped your price. But your price went up, and if somebody else's price didn't go up at the same time, you wouldn't have got the next order because he's going to shop it again, right? Yeah. So it's you know, I found in life that in my world that, yeah, if it's always price and there's nothing else involved, we're not going to have a long-term relationship here. And usually I've always found most of the time, if you make a call on a brand new customer, and they give you an order immediately right where you're there, there's two problems. Either A, I'm too cheap, or B, they've probably ran their credit so far up with the existing supplier that they can't get product anymore. Right? Am I wrong? That's usually one of the two things.
You are correct.
Because there's no reason. And I mean, I think I'm pretty good at what I do.
Sure.
But if you never saw me before, I come wandering in off the side road with a bag of screws in my hand, and we've never met, you've never even heard of me. I just found you, saw your sign, and boy, I'm pretty good if I just sold you on that first call, right? That just don't happen in the B2B world, right?
I have never walked into someone's office and they stood up and said, oh, we've been waiting for you to show up.
Yes, I've had an order here for a week and a half wondering who would wander in, you know? So it's always, you're always going, okay, oh boy, this is not good. But, and it's funny because you think as a young sales guy, you're jumping up and down going, oh my God, I got a sale. No, you had a transaction is what you had. And transactions... Transactions are, as you kind of alluded to, they're only good until the next one.
Right.
Because you're shopped every single time, and you can't be, as long as you're fair, competitive, do the things you say you'll do, provide the quality and the services, right? There's a reason there's a triad of you know, so I said price, quality, service. I think it should always be quality, service, price, because the price really doesn't matter without the other two. That's the first objection. We're taught as young buyers in the world, just as consumers, your first response is, "Well, you're too high. Well, that's too much money." Well, if that's the case, there wouldn't be only one car, and it'd be the same exact car, right? There's reasons there are different trucks. There's reasons there are different everything. So I think that as young salespeople can get wrapped up in it's all about price, and this gonna be a long haul for you if that's the only thing you sell on. Right.
Oh, 1,000%. We, even on the building side, which Chance pretty much runs solely now, we're very clear. If it's the cheapest guy or the cheapest option you're looking for, I'll give you 5 phone numbers. Go shop them and keep them busy while we're taking care of our customers.
Yes. Yep. So. Exactly. Well, you got a great philosophy on it there, my man. And, you know, it's I told you 45 minutes would go by pretty fast. We're kind of closing in. You've been incredibly lenient with your time, and I appreciate it. We'll do this again someday, because I've told numerous guests there's two ways you get invited back to Building Wins Live. A, you're really, really, really good, and there's more stuff to talk about, or you really, really, really suck so bad that we got to give you one last chance for a reprieve. And you fall into the first, not the last. I mean, this is some good stuff.
So, well, I'll say that you're kind. I probably fall into the second, but whatever you've got to say.
No, you did not.
Back, I'll appreciate it.
No, this was some good stuff, because I, like I said, I love what you do. And I love the energy you bring on all aspects of the personal and the business. And, you know, we didn't set you up for this one. We forgot to tell you. So this is going to really catch you off guard. So now we'll see how good you are. There's a seldom asked question that we will bring up instead of a frequently asked question. What? And I'll draw this out just a little to give yourself your mind to do some thinking. What did I not, or what is the question that you just wish when you talk to somebody, business or personal, that they're just going, I just wish they'd ask me this. I just wish somebody would ask me. What's a good question that you just wish people would ask?
You are catching me off guard.
I know I was. I can do a song and dance. I can sing the Star Spangled Banner if you want.
Until
I tell you. Ready?
So if there's a question that I'll kind of half turn it around on you.
Okay.
But the question that I always ask people when they ask for any advice or anything like that is, why? What's your why?
Love it.
Why are you doing what you do? I mean, for me, like if you'd have asked me, hey, how did you get into metal? Dumb bad luck. But I absolutely love what I do. And that's a whole other topic that we'll cover next time.
We'll do that next time. But see, you just answered it though. See, there's your should ask question. People should always ask you. Okay, you're in metal. There's a lot of widgets out there you could be making or doing or selling or right. You know, it's funny. I have guys. Are you familiar? You know that cartoon Hank? Was it King of the Hill? Hank Hill.
King of the Hill. Yeah. Oh yeah.
King of the Hill. And I always love his line. What do you do? And he says, well, I sell propane and propane accessories. Right. And yeah. I always like that line because one of the product lines that I sell as a rep agency is barn door track, right? Ooh. Not overly sexy, not particularly exciting, but a great product with a great company, and used and needed every single day. But it's fun sometimes to tell somebody, if you're in a group and everybody's going, oh, what do you do? I always like to say, oh, I sell barn door track and barn door track accessories. And they all look at you like, you could afford the gas to drive here doing that? and I always take that from Hank Hill, because I always loved it when he'd say that, because, you know, there's so many things out there that people do and do very successfully. I find, as a sales guy, I loved going down the road and seeing things, whatever that thing is, and going, somebody sold that. Oh, or yeah. A bunch of people sold that. You know, you think of everything that ends up, whatever widget it is, there's numerous people with their hands involved, a sales guy with some raw material, another sales guy, and another sales guy, and another sales guy. And it's just, it's amazing. That in life, everything's a sale, right? I mean, if you get down to it, because that's not a naughty word. It's not a bad word.
Nothing happens until something's sold.
Exactly. And if you think about it, even I opened up a little talk I did once. Then I'm going to let you get out of here. But this little talk once with somebody, I said, how many guys in the room are in sales? There's several of them raised their hand. The others didn't. I said, what are you guys doing? Oh, we this or that. We drive forklift. I said, well, so I'm going to be bold and tell you, you're all wrong. The guys that didn't raise your hand, because you're all in sales. You're in sales in the business you work for, because as a truck driver, you're pretty important in sales, because how you deliver the material, you ask the customer where he wants it. You're friendly. What are you building? I mean, this is going to be a nice building. You know, the way you treat that customer reflects on your company, right? Oh, yeah. So you are in sales. And I said, secondarily, I assume there's mostly guys in the room. I think it's almost all guys. I said, how many of you in here got wives or girlfriends or significant others? And pretty much they all raised their hand. And I said, well, I'm telling you, you're world-class salesman, because half you guys are ugly. And you did a heck of a sales job if you got a girl. I'm just telling you. You know,
oh, yeah.
But it points out the fact that you think about it. Not to take this and I get on a tangent, I'm gonna get off it, but even if you're with a charity or even a pastor of your church, you are involved in selling people on the idea of why they should be involved, right? Why you should come to these meetings, why you should give your time, right? It's all about, see, and too many people, then there's been people that give sales a bad name. And I don't like them.
Oh,
I just don't like them, because right. I think being a professional salesperson is one of the highest callings, because you really are kind of a Zig Ziglarism, but you're helping other people get what they want or need, right? And I think that's a great calling. I think it's a great thing to be doing. So, and you do it well, my man. I appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy. So, I appreciate you.
All right. Well, listen, Nate, I thank you for the time. Go work out or sell something or make something. Just whatever you do. I'm not setting my timer for you when you get up in the morning, because I'll get my workout, but I'm not doing it for.
Well, you go get some, my man.
Well, I'll get some, because get some, not none, right?
That's right, brother.
That's it. All right, brother. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Great travels.
All right. Cheers. You as well. All right. Get some. Nate Roberts, Practical Metals out in the Fort Worth, Texas area. And I'll tell you what, if you're out part of the world and you need some coil, flats or coil, that's the guy right there. Go see him. And I love follow him, man. I tell you what, I got to follow him, and that's what led me to communicating with him more, and he communicating with I, and then all of a sudden we had a conversation today. It's networking, man. And this guy's he's bringing it every day. So follow Nate. And with that said, do what you love and love what you do. That's what Wes and I do every single day. You get one go around, so live it, love it, own it. And this is important. Go make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.